No, wait. Vivaldi's Largo from Winter may be the theme music for Evening Under Lamplight. But that's not the way we want to start up our new season back on the air after 5 months. I want to be back, and from all that I've heard over the past few months, you too want to be back. So let's proclaim it. That Michael Jackson has a good voice. He could have a pretty good singing career ahead of him. Dancing too, I understand. Yes, I'm sure you knew that this was the Jackson 5 with their first big release, I Want You Back, expressing our joy, you and I, in being back together on the airwaves. So who am I again? I am Robert Louis Abrahamson, bringing you Evening Under Lamplight, the show that invites you to attend. So pay attention, y'all. And we're here on Cambridge 105, community radio in Cambridge at 105 FM in the Cambridge area. Wait, a few more words about that Jackson 5 album. I bought it when it first came out, much to the scorn of everyone. Even the man in the record shop, I can still see the look he gave me as though I was handing him something vile I found outside on the pavement. I was coming to the Jackson 5 for my love of Motown, but he just saw it as teeny bopper bubblegum music, the worst sort of AM pap. So I carried it secretly in a bag back to my room, but didn't care. The music was joyful and exciting, and then when my friend Marty Brody heard it, Marty, the most intellectual and demanding musician I've ever met, who's gone on to be head of music at Wellesley College, when he heard it, he immediately caught on to the complex layers of rhythm and harmony and texture. So if it was good enough for Marty, it was good enough for me. Well, to be honest, I would have listened to it anyway, even if Marty didn't like it, but I wouldn't have listened to it when he was in the room. The lyrics are pretty much lost behind all the other sounds, but you'll understand a lot about all of Michael Jackson's subsequent problems if you realize that here he is aged 10 years old, made to prance around on the stage singing, "Oh, darling, I was blind to let you go, but now since I see you in his arms, I want you back. Yes, I do now." This is not what a 10-year-old should be singing and strutting about. But poor Michael, with that voice and oy vey, azoy upon him. Look at the YouTube version of this song as performed on American Bandstand. We'd have them all up for child abuse today, I'm sure. But there are a few clever lines that might have been, but weren't, written by Smokey Robinson himself. "Every street you walk on, I leave tear stains on the ground, following the girl I didn't even want around." And now it's like I've painted myself into a corner. What can we follow that song with? Well, the idea of coming back, our theme for this evening, under lamplight, of course, can always be spoken of through love song imagery. So here's another love song that can express, in this case, my great longing for you over these months we've been apart. Perhaps also your longing for the show, too. It's The Loving Spoonful, no strangers to Evening Under Lamplight, singing, "Darling, be home soon." As usual, coming very close to sentimentality, but the sweet wit of John Sebastian pulling it all back at the last minute. He tells her, "The time I spent confused was the time I spent without you." We call that a balanced syntax, pivoting equal phrasing around the verb and rhyming confused with without you. Alexander Pope this isn't, but we're not asking for Alexander Pope right now.
true.
For the great relief of having you to talk to. The one line where he finally lets his voice crack a little. And yes, for me too, the great relief of having you to talk to. I think the sound came across a little bit out of balance with far too much of the loud music and not enough of the words. Enough, I hope, for you to hear. There's an example in this song of what we call doggerel, in the sense of using words only for the sake of the rhyme, an amateur way of writing verse. Sebastian says, "But darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you dawdled. My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I toddled." I've been waiting since I toddled? No, surely not. But how otherwise are you going to rhyme dawdled? I'm afraid there's another bit of doggerel in the following song, but it's so slight I won't even mention it, but point you instead to attend to the delightful innocence of Melanie's voice. Her wounded innocence as she bounces back into town, just like us at Cambridge 105 and Evening Under Lamplight, but finds things not what she'd expected. "You don't look so happy, 'cause I'm back in town." Like Adelaide in Guys and Dolls, this New York accent makes the voice seem much more vulnerable and poignant. And listen out also for the times she just lets a little whimper escape, as she's just on the edge of tears. Tears? Yes, but the opening sounds like some sort of musical comedy number, so it's a song that touches our heart but makes us smile at the same time. Just the kind of song we like on Evening Under Lamplight.
I'm back in town. You don't look so happy, 'cause I'm back in town. You don't look like smiling, don't jump up and down on my toes. I guess I better go. Oh, I'm very sure I should have knocked when I opened the door. Pardon me, miss, but he's just a friend from before, who never locked his door. I opened without knocking like before. You wrote me that all was the same, so I came, but I can't find the love in your eyes. I guess that you're surprised just like me. I never thought you'd find another she. You liked as well as me, but I guess I was wrong. So I'll be going home. Oh, I'm back in town. Didn't they tell you that I'm back in town? You don't look so happy. Don't jump up and down on my toes. You loved me once, you know. I guess that you don't love me anymore. I'm back in town. Didn't they tell you that I'm back in town? You don't look so happy. Don't jump up and down.
That was Melanie, "I'm Back in Town." It's almost worth having been away all this time so I can have the chance to play this song, which has been playing in and out of my mind for years and years. That guy was just a friend from before who never locked his door. And you never locked your door, nor did I. And so let's jump up and down on our toes as we come back here at Evening Under Lamplight on 105 FM, Cambridge's Community Radio. And I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and this was a short station identification. Oh, look, someone else is back in town, too. It's Lulu, and it's Fats Walter. Well, and it's Fats Waller getting all excited. You can jump up and down on your toes to this song if you like. Lulu's back in town. My, 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 my.
Well, look at this. Lulu's back in town. My, my, my. Yes, yes, yes. Gotta sew a button on my vest, cause tonight I've got to look my best. Lulu's back in town. Gotta get a half a buck somewhere. Gotta shine my shoes, slick my hair. Got to get my clothes booting there. Lulu's back in town. You can tell all my pets, all my Harlem coquettes, Mr. Otis regrets that he won't be around. You can tell the mailman not to call. I ain't coming home until the fall. And again, I might not get back home at all. Lulu's back in town, yeah.
Tell all my pets, all my Harlem coquettes, Mr. Waller regrets, but he doesn't think he can get around. Oh, my, 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 that Lulu must be some woman. Where has Lulu been all this time? Well, come to that, where have we all been all this time? Before we go further, I want to express my gratitude to all the people who have kept this community radio station alive during the months since the glorious 209 radio went off the air. And especially thank Axel, who has been always so helpful with the old and the new station. And in fact, in whose front room we are sitting right now, broadcasting the show until the new premises are properly set up. And in fact, Axel is acting as my engineer, which I can't tell you, relieves me of much of the stress of the show. Axel has also been helpful in a more practical way towards me, as we have worked together to set up an audio blog, a kind of sister site for Evening Under Lamplight, called instead Moments Under Lamplight. The aim is to record short 10-minute pieces, thoughts and anecdotes and little dramas or even meditations, which you can either read or listen to or both. The site also contains what I pretentiously call a library, where I've put up some essays and other writings of mine, and I will also set up a page where you can download recorded versions of Evening Under Lamplight. So if you want to hear it again, or tell friends about it, the place to go is simply momentsunderlamplight.com. You can also leave your comments there, and so can I. It would be lovely if a nice chatty forum developed there. Remember, momentsunderlamplight, all one word, .com. So will I see you there? Or are you there already, listening in? Or can you, in fact, ever be there? What is the difference between there and here? Can we ever actually be there? Or are we only here all the time? These are either childish absurdities or profound linguistic paradoxes. Or both, I think, when we encounter the world of Fraggle Rock, who, yes, return to us again in this second series of Evening Under Lamplight. It's a simple bossa nova song, and not too long, so attend carefully and come out at the other end, charmed and quite a bit wiser, I hope. That's right. I've never been anywhere. I'm only always here. Be here now. The famous mindfulness motto. The Fraggles knew. Can we ever go back? Our past is always there, never here, no matter how much we long to return. As the Kinks long to return in this song of deep yearning to get away from the city and return to the folks back home. It's a song imitating a crooning Elvis and a slow, loping pace, and also a honky-tonk piano. With all the country and western melancholy of longing to get on that train, the famous getaway railway image at the heart of so many American songs. But oh no, it's not the Baltimore and Ohio or the Union Pacific Railway. But just the Jubilee line on the London Underground, taking him from central London half an hour out into the endless suburbs to Willesden Green. Here, you'd better have a listen to this yourself. The Kinks, Willesden Green, from their 1971 album, Percy.
Oh, 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 oh. Well, I tried to settle down full on Broadway, and I tried to make semi-detached.
the folks, yeah, the folks back home in Willesden Green.
So wonderfully typical of Ray Davies to celebrate these northern suburbs. An early song in his career as the songster of outer London, ending these sentimental lines with the place names that pull the lines down flat, like this. Well, I tried to settle down in Fulham Broadway. That name does have a kind of resonance to it, but the image of a Broadway, so grand and Parisian, is actually just a place where a lot of buses happen to stop. No, he can never go back, but only turn the past into a game for words and music. But there is a way to come back home, but it's an uncanny way, as we hear in the great Scottish ballad The Wife of Usher's Well. This wealthy woman had three sons who were lost at sea, and she prayed that they might come back to her. And so they did, but they were ghosts, wearing hats made from birch or birk, a birch tree growing near the gates of paradise. And though they may come back home, it's not for long, since, as we know, when the cock crows, the ghosts must return to their graves. Indulge me now as I throw myself into this beautiful, eerie poem. There lived a wife at Usher's Well, and a wealthy wife was she. She had three stout and stalwart sons, and sent them o'er the sea. They hadna been a week from her, a week but barely ane, when word came to the carlin wife that her three sons were gane. They hadna been a week from her, a week but barely three, when word came to the carlin wife that her sons she'd never see. I wish the wind may never cease, nor flashes in the flood, till my three sons come hame to me in earthly flesh and blood. It fell about the Martinmas, when nights are lang and mirk, the carlin wife's three sons came hame, and their hats were o' the birk. It neither grew in syke nor ditch, nor yet on ony shoogh, but at the gates o' paradise that birk grew fair eneugh. Blow up the fire, my maidens, bring water from the well, for all my house shall feast this night, since my three sons are well. And she has made to them a bed, she's made it large and wide, and she's ta'en her mantle her about, sat down by the bedside. Then crew the red, red cock, and up and crew the grey. The eldest to the youngest said, 'Tis time we were away. The cock he hadna crowed but once, and clapped his wings at awe, when the youngest to the eldest said, Brother, we must awa'. The cock doth craw, the day doth draw, the channerin' worm doth chide. Gin we be missed out o' our place, a sair pain we maun bide. Lie still, but a little wee while, lie still, but if we may. Gin my mother should miss us when she wakes, she'll go mad ere it be day. O fare ye weel, my mother dear, fare weel to barn and byre, and fare ye weel, the bonny lass, that kindles my mother's fire. Just heard Yehudi Menuhin with Bartok's short violin piece called Bagpipes, an eerie follow-up to The Wife of Usher's Well, which I hope you enjoyed listening to as much as I enjoyed reading for you. Like most Scottish ballads, it leaves many loose threads. What happened to the mother when she woke up to find her sons had not really come back to her in earthly flesh and blood and were now gone? Did she go mad, as the brother feared? And what has happened in that final stanza when one of the brothers says his farewell to his mother and to Barn and Byre, and finally to the bonny lass that kindles my mother's fire? Who was she? And what did she think of this whole episode? We'll never know. This ghostly homecoming is beyond our earthly kin. We take it in with our hearts, not our minds. And now for a different kind of coming home. That moment, late in the novel, when the great hero of James Joyce's Ulysses, Leopold Bloom, comes home, accompanied by Stephen Dedalus. It's now almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and after a day full of rich, wonderful travelling around Dublin, can Bloom now literally go home? That is, can he even get into his house? To come fully home, we need the key, and Bloom has forgotten his key. This is about as exciting an event as happened to him all day. But how does Joyce tell us about it? It's late at night, almost as if the official narrative thread of the novel has packed up and gone home. There is, in fact, no more narrative in the final two chapters of the book. In his attempt to try every kind of linguistic device to produce a true feel of human experience, Joyce abandons narrative in favor of a kind of catechism, question and answer. No storytelling, just a series of questions and then answers, but the answers spoken by someone who seems to have no sense of proportion and always gives us much more back than we'd asked for. It's another joke about the insufficiency of language to tell us very much at all about the world. Here, then, is Bloom's homecoming. What action did Bloom make on their arrival at their destination? At the house steps of the fourth of the equidifferent uneven numbers, number 7, Eccles Street, he inserted his hand mechanically into the back pocket of his trousers to obtain his latchkey. Was it there? It was in the corresponding pocket of the trousers which he had worn on the day but one preceding. Why was he doubly irritated? Because he had forgotten, and because he remembered that he had reminded himself twice not to forget. What were then the alternatives before the premeditatively, respectively, and inadvertently keyless couple? To enter or not to enter? To knock or not to knock? Bloom's decision? A stratagem. Resting his feet on the dwarf wall, he climbed over the area railings, compressed his hat on his head, grasped two points at the lower union of rails and stiles, lowered his body gradually by its length of 5 feet 9 inches and a half. Here, by the way, on page 779, is the first time we have any idea of how tall our hero is. Lowered his body gradually by its length of 5 feet 9 inches and a half to within 2 feet 10 inches of the pavement area, and allowed his body to move freely in space by separating himself from the railings and crouching in preparation for the impact of the fall. Did he fall? By his body's known weight of 11 stone and 4 pounds in avoirdupois measure, and here we learn his weight, just incidentally, as this pedantic catechist goes through his statistics and then gets carried away with proving when exactly Bloom last weighed himself on the scales at the local chemist's. As certified by the graduated machine for periodical self-weighing in the premises of Francis Friedman, pharmaceutical chemist of 19 Frederick Street North, on the last feast of the Ascension, to wit, the 12th day of May of the bisextile year 1904 of the Christian era, Jewish era 5664, Mohammedan era 1322, Golden number 5, Epact 13, Solar Cycle 9, Dominical letters CB, Roman indication 2, Julian period 6617, MXMIV. Did he rise uninjured by concussion? Regaining new stable equilibrium, he rose uninjured, though concussed by the impact, raised the latch of the area door by the exertion of force at its freely moving flange, and by leverage of the first kind applied at its fulcrum gained retarded access to the kitchen through the subadjacent scullery, ignited a lucifer match by friction, set free inflammable coal gas by turning on the vent cock, lit a high flame which, by regulating, he reduced to quiescent candescence and lit, finally, a portable candle. That meant that he opened the latch door, struck a match, lit and adjusted the gas light, and lit a candle to walk up to the front door to open it for Stephen to come in. Now, the next time you go home, just attend to all the tiny things that you do not let just... Just attend to all the tiny things you do to let yourself in. Millions of small actions that only a pedant or the arranger of this chapter of the novel would ever think of putting into language. And see if your ordinary life doesn't suddenly become, in its way, a mini-epic, and you its hero. But now look, in one sense we do come back each day. Waking from sleep and dreams, we come back to the world of consciousness after traveling through the night in that mysterious, dark, adventurous dreamland. Here's a child's view of this return, and we wish all children the chance to return to the safety of a secure waking life each morning. The little poem is called My Bed is Like a Little Boat, from A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. My bed is like a little boat. Nurse helps me in when I embark. She girds me in my sailor's coat and starts me in the dark. At night I go on board and say good night to all my friends on shore. I shut my eyes and sail away and see and hear no more. And sometimes things to bed I take, as prudent sailors have to do. Perhaps a slice of wedding cake, perhaps a toy or two. All night across the dark we steer, but when the day returns at last, safe in my room, beside the pier, I find my vessel fast. Children, some of them at least, can wake in the innocence of day, safe in my room. Many adults can do this too. Michael Jackson's bed was a different sort of boat, perhaps, when he was older. A boat he invited children to ride in, and I'd like to hope he brought them safe beside the pier in the mornings. But again, poor Michael, who had lost his childhood places far too early. But none of us can return to our childhood, and this is a theme that appears over and over in The Child's Garden of Verses. Stevenson knew. He tells us in another place about the wonderful cut-out children's theatres he loved as a boy. He'd make a pest of himself in the shop, choosing which of Skelt's children's dramas he wanted to buy. Thrilled with the prospect of a new story, new characters, new pictures, here was the world of romance come to him early and shaping his imagination for the rest of his life. But as he grew older, these toy dramas lost their charm, and he longed to come back to the freshness of that joy he had from them when a child. Here's how he put it in his essay, A Penny Plain and Tuppence Coloured. But indeed, I have a dream at times that is not all a dream. I seem to myself to wander in a ghostly street close below the Fool's Cap of St. Paul's, and yet within easy hearing of the echo of the Abbey Bridge. There, in a dim shop, low in the roof and smelling strong of glue and footlights, I find myself in quaking treaty with Great Skelt himself, the aboriginal maker of these theatrical games, all dusty from the tomb. I buy, with what a choking heart, I buy them all but the pantomimes. I pay my mental money and go forth, and lo, the packets are dust. Was Louis Armstrong's Come Back Sweet Papa, with its somewhat mocking raucousness taking up the mockery of the packets of dust from Stevenson's dream of returning to joyful childhood purchases. And as you recall, here at Evening Under Lamplight, we usually like to check in with Dante to see what wisdom he can share with us on our themes. There is, in fact, no real coming back in the Divine Comedy. The journey ends in the glory of the beatific vision. We never learn what happened when Dante came back to his everyday life in 14th century Italy. Well, yes, I suppose we do know what happened. He wrote this poem. But there is a sense in which he speaks about returning home. As he comes to the top of Mount Purgatory, he finds there paradise. He has come back to the Garden of Eden, our first home. After we have been through our own hell and then climbed the mountain of repentance and cleansing and healing, we are back home again. But not for long. Dante is taken up onto the next step of his journey, rising through the heavens from sphere to sphere, up to the glorious, single, divine point of the universe, l'amor che muove il sole e l'altre stelle, the love that moves the sun and the other stars. And there's no more to be said. But when it came to Bob Dylan, I couldn't even find this small version of Coming Back. There is no direction home. Dylan never looked back, much less went back. Every step is a new step, often far too adventurous for most of his fans to follow. But what does Dylan care? He's no longer even here now, but over there, further along, somewhere else. And that's not a bad place for us to end this evening, under lamplight. Let's look ahead, not returning home, but perhaps finding that home we have never known, only had glimpses of, beyond the horizon. And that's the name of our final song, Beyond the Horizon, from the Modern Times album of 4 years ago. Can I go through some of the lyrics with you, please? It's so much more delightful if we attend together. Beyond the horizon, behind the sun, at the end of the rainbow, life has only begun. In the long hours of twilight, neath the stardust above, beyond the horizon, it is easy to love. We've talked about longing in some of the other songs this evening, but they were all as nothing. Here Dylan hits that deepest of human longings, that place it seems we can never reach, where, of all things, it is easy to love. Paradise, you see, on top of that unimaginably high purgatorial mountain. I'm touched with desire, what don't I do? Through flame and through fire, that same wall of fire Dante had to pass through to purify all aspects of his loving heart. I'll build my world around you. Beyond the horizon, in the springtime or fall, love waits forever, for one and for all. Do you find this hard to believe? Come on, man, this is Bob Dylan. It has to be true. Or, to be serious, it's Bob Dylan. You've trusted him before. Trust him again and attend for just a minute to these new visions he wants to share with us. You're not too scared, are you? Don't worry. This is the gentlest and tenderest of songs, a love song and a prayer and a song of Beatrice, all in one. Beyond the horizon, across the divide, round about midnight, we'll be on the same side. Down in the valley, the water runs cold. Beyond the horizon, someone prayed for your soul. Oh, this really is like Dante, where Beatrice, across the divide, prayed for Dante's soul, lost in that dark woods. And then the help came that led him on that long, long journey. But Dylan doesn't say someone prayed for his soul. He says someone prayed for your soul. What, mine? Do I dare believe it? My wretched heart's pounding. I felt an angel's kiss. My memories are drowning in mortal bliss. My wretched heart. And whose heart is not wretched, in all the different senses of that word? But whose heart has not felt an angel's kiss, that is, some intimation of immortality that drowns our memories? Who needs them when we have this mortal bliss instead? Beyond the horizon, at the end of the game, every step that you take, I'm walking the same. Well, yes, this has to be beyond the horizon. When, on this side of the horizon, are we ever able to walk the same steps as anyone else? Beyond the horizon, the night winds blow, the theme of a melody from many moons ago. The bells of St. Mary, how sweetly they chime. Beyond the horizon, I found you just in time. I found you just in time. Who's this you? Some woman he's now in love with? God? Or perhaps us, his listeners? Well, all three, of course. And just in time, not in eternity. This is a mortal bliss, remember. And it doesn't come easy. It's dark and it's dreary. I've been pleading in vain. I'm old and I'm weary. My repentance is plain. Beyond the horizon or the treacherous sea, I still can't believe that you have set aside your love for me. I still can't believe. Well, that's what we say too, I suspect. What will it take for us to believe in this love set aside for us? Beyond the horizon, neath crimson skies, in the soft light of morning, I'll follow you with my eyes. The song began in the long hours of twilight and moved to round about midnight. And now we're in the soft light of morning, following with our eyes. Another strong Dante image. Through countries and kingdoms and temples of stone, beyond the horizon, right down to the bone. It's the right time in the season. Someone there always cared. There's always a reason why someone's life has been spared. A few years before, in The Man in the Long Black Coat, Dylan had sung, "There are no mistakes in life, some people say. It is true, sometimes you can see it that way. But people don't live or die, people just float." But now, he's speaking more firmly. There's always a reason why someone's life has been spared. Beyond the horizon, the sky is so blue. I've got more than a lifetime to live loving you. I have nothing more to say, except to lead us into the song itself, with that sweet, haunted music like some 1950s late afternoon tea room music. But not quite, because after all, we may draw musical styles from the past, but we can never go back. No direction, home, always ahead, beyond the horizon.
Beyond the horizon, behind the sun, at the end of the rainbow, life has already begun. In the long hours of twilight, neath the stardust above, beyond the horizon, it is easier to love. I'm touched with desire. What don't I do? Through flame and through fire, I'll build my world around you. Beyond the horizon, in the springtime or fall, love waits forever. Divine, round about midnight, we'll be on the same side. Down in the valley, the water runs cold. Beyond the horizon, someone prayed for your soul. Your heart is pounding. I felt an angel's kiss. My memories are drowning. walking the same. St. Mary, how sweetly they chime beyond the horizon. I found you just in time. It's dark and it's dreary. I've been pleading in vain. I'm wounded and I'm weary. Repentance is plain beyond the horizon or the treacherous sea. I still can't believe that you have set aside your love for me.
Beyond the Horizon, Bob Dylan. Listen to this a lot. And now it's time for us to move out here and close up our evening together under lamplight. The scheduling at Cambridge 105 Community Radio in Cambridge has not been fully set up yet, so I'm not sure exactly when Evening Under Lamplight will be going out next, but look for it in a fortnight. That's 2 weeks. And keep abreast of the station at our website at cambridge105.org. Keep in touch with me, too, at our website, momentsunderlamplight.com. And on Facebook, with pages for Evening Under Lamplight, as well as Moments Under Lamplight. And my own page at Robert Louis Abrahamson. Come be my Facebook friend, if you're not already. Next time, I'm thinking of following up an earlier show on cool women with the show I promised you on cool men, if I can find any cool men for us to listen to. Actually, everybody's cool on this show. You're cool listening, I'm cool speaking, and all the music is nothing but cool. And until then, it's me, RLA, wishing you a fine night of adventuring and safe awakenings as your bed boat comes back to the waking world. And thanks again for welcoming us back in town. Buonanotte tutti.